Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we have the privilege to be in studio one more time, one more week, hopefully one more year, hopefully one more decade, maybe even two or three decades, maybe, well, as long as we can be salt and light, make a difference while there is yet time. As always, our contact information on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I picked up Time magazine as I was walking into the studio, and I thought I got to say something about this because the cover page says beyond he or she. So the whole idea that God made them male and female is now out the window because, as the subtext says, a new generation is redefining the meaning of gender. The article by Katie Steinmetz. And it takes practice, but you can build up to this. I mean, this is something, if you just kind of get into the groove, you can start to recognize that gender is fluid, to say the least. In fact, when you go to the actual article, you'll see in big letters, infinite identities. A growing number of young people are moving beyond the idea that we live in a world where sexuality and gender come in only two forms, which is to say we have for thousands of years identified as either male or female, but we're now moving beyond that. We thought when the whole issue of same-sex sexuality hit the big screen, well, it would end with that. At least some people were naive enough to think that. We were talking about this for decades. This is just, well, a tipping point. So what's happening? Well, the article talks about Park City, Utah, where students are lining up at a local high school to get their locker assignments for the semester. And the group leaders are now counting the different identity labels they've encountered. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But there are more, way more. There are people who are pan. There's also aromantic, asexual, genderqueer, two-spirit, and on it goes. Others say their feelings about gender don't fit in any of those boxes, and they could change over time. Some days I feel like my gender could be like what I was assigned at birth, but there are other days where I feel exactly the opposite. Who identifies as gender fluid? Well, many are now in that category, and they're using the pronoun they rather than he or she. And Facebook, with more than 1 billion users, now has some 60 options for users' gender. By some counts, there are more than 200 characters on cable TV and streaming series. Influential celebrities like Miley Cyrus, who have come out as everything from flexible in their gender to, well, mostly straight. What's interesting about reading this article is, as you read through it, the people that are really on board with all of this, well, they are experts. They are researchers. They are in the enlightened category. What about those who might say, wait a minute, not so fast? Taking thousands of years of civilization, casting it to the wind? Maybe we shouldn't be that precipitous. Well, the word troll is used for those kinds of people. They are trolls, kind of images in your mind of knuckle-dragging apes, people who are not particularly enlightened. One pastor gratuitously cited in the article. So what do we do? I mean, we can curse the darkness. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to think that this is being extolled. I mean, this is not just being reported. This is being extolled. And there's the implicit warning. You kind of get it if you're smart. If you should say something contrary to this particular narrative, well, then you might cause someone to commit suicide. You might cause violence to another person. So be very, very careful, because you will be a hater if you even question the 100 to 200 shades. Well, I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you put a pound of salt into a quart of water, the water should get pretty salty. So why are there thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians? Why are there some churches in the city that I belong to that have 20,000 or more members? And yet, somehow or other, no impact on the culture. No impact on the narrative. You would think that with as many Christians as there are in America, there'd be some impact on the culture, but why no substantive impact? Could it be possible that Christians are cowed? They don't dare proclaim truth from the housetops or from radio signals or television signals? Well, it's possible that the salt has lost its saltiness. And it's high time that we do something about that. God has spoken. The Bible's crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. The Bible carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. And we have to have the right kind of attitude, which is not an attitude of silence, because trust me, just trust me on this. People who think this is enlightened are the people that are hurting millions and millions of impressionable children. And perhaps the number could be said in a more grandiose way. So we have to preach the right things in the right ways. We need conviction and compassion, not compromise. We must not yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. It is very, very tempting to do that. We should never go against our conscience. As has been well said, this is neither safe nor is it right. We should never yield to cultural norms. They're going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity, and yet to yield, to abandon the call that God has placed upon our collective lives is, well, nothing short of sin and sickness. We cannot deny natural law, because to do that is to strike a mortal blow to the very foundation of civilization and society. Well, a lot of you hanging on. Let's go to Adam. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. As I listen to what you just read, and just as I go through everything in my own life and things that are, I just find myself wondering if, like, the end of the age has changed and the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the world. Like, I get scared, man. It feels so dark, you know. Just wondered if you could speak to that.
Well, the Holy Spirit is actively working within the world. The Holy Spirit works through people. And we are called not just to work by our own might, but by an energy that is from above. I think all too often what we do is we rely on mere bios when there's more available to us as we are being engrafted with the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to be transformational agents. But look, it doesn't take a big platform. It doesn't of necessity take a lot of money. What it takes is a deep and abiding commitment to a power that is beyond ourselves. And so this is not a time to throw up our hands and say, well, the Holy Spirit is no longer working redemptively within the world. Yes, the Holy Spirit is, but we are the agents through which the Holy Spirit works. So the real problem, ultimately, in my view, is the church. The salt has lost its saltiness. The light is under a bushel, and all of that needs to change. All of that can change. So I don't think this is time to give up or to speculate when the end will be, but make a difference while there's yet time. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Tasha next, listening in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Hi, Tasha.
Yes, sir. Hank, I've been listening to your show in the evenings on my way home from work, and it's been very enlightening. And I recently had a situation occur in my own family that I've been just really at loss as far as how to deal with it. My sister recently announced to the family that she's engaged to a man who we have found out is transitioning to become a female. She has let us know that that she now feels that she is bisexual. I don't know if this is in order to accommodate what is happening with this gentleman. I'm very worried about what's going on with her, what's going on, the future of my 16-year-old nephew who's in the house. I don't understand how this has happened. We were both brought up with the same Christian values. She claims to be Christian. And we've just vacillated all over the place, my husband and I, about what to do with this. And we're just really needing some advice as far as to how to start this conversation with her and her fiancé. We do hope. We've prayed about it a lot. We understand that we're actually searching after two people who are very lost and hoping that they don't lead a third, my nephew, along with them. And we could just use some advice as to how to start this conversation. I come at it from a theological perspective, from a medical perspective. You can't change your DNA regardless of what you're able to do surgically. And I'm just very much afraid for her and for him and for my nephew, as far as I feel like they're very lost right now. How can I start this conversation?
Sure. And Tasha, let me say at the very outset that we should not take a burden upon ourselves that is not a burden that is assigned to us. It is not our responsibility to change anybody's heart or lifestyle or mind. We don't have that responsibility. We don't have that province. We don't have that prerogative. We do have the responsibility, and I can tell from the prologue to the question that you have taken that seriously. We do have the responsibility to be equipped. This is one of those issues that we don't have to worry too much about conversation starters on, because the narrative is being pushed on us with veracity. So the idea here is to equip yourself to, again, go back to what I've said many times, to always be ready. This, of course, comes from the Apostle Peter as well as from Paul. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. And so you're in the ideal position as someone who is well-spoken, who understands the issues theologically, biologically, medically, as you pointed out. And I think, therefore, you can be salt and light, but you don't have to take the responsibility of changing anybody's heart, except by how we live in this world, which is to say that you are living as someone whose life and whose love gives an opportunity to open their lips and communicate life transformational truth. And God will give you that opportunity, if not in this case, in many other cases. It's a matter of the fields being white unto harvest, but the laborers being few. Why are the laborers few? They're simply not equipped. And so I can't stress enough, number one, that we don't have to take a responsibility that is the sovereign responsibility of God, but we do have to take a responsibility which He has given to us, and that is to be His spokespersons, and that in a way that is reaching people as opposed to repelling people. So again, don't take an undue responsibility, but you will have an opportunity, if not in this case, in many other cases. God has prepared you, Tasha.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kristen next. She's listening in Parsons, Kansas. Hi, Kristen.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I wrote out my questions, not too long, but on and off since I've been saved, which is the early 1980s, and I was in my 30s then, on and off, I've had this fear that I'm guilty for not staying with a group. When I was first saved, I was living with a guy, and I'd asked, and I'd read in the Bible, don't have sex before marriage. So when I stopped having sex, I was out the door. But anyway, I was in so much pain, I asked for God's will, and all the Christians in town were praying with me. And I asked for circumstances, and I got them. And my godfather came to town in a sailboat, and I would have gotten to this particular group on the same day that they started their training. And I said, it's God's will, it's God's will. But anyway, and then I needed God to be gentle with me. I'd had a fear of him ever since I first got saved. And I was ahead of, but anyway, and I said, God, what, I'm not so sure about this. And I heard in my left ear, not audibly, but it said, it's God's will and you have to do it. And I went into fear, and the fear hasn't quit really. It's gone off and on. And I went and I joined the group following that fear. I was thinking maybe it would go away, but no, I had the fear so bad they asked me to leave because I couldn't memorize their plays and stuff. But anyway, I'm told that Jesus only speaks to us in love and life and light. Am I allowed to reject this spirit, which still comes at me at this advanced, I'm 67 now, age?
Well, I mean, the first thing, Kristen, is that we have an opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, to follow his principles and precepts. And the thing that we recognize when we do so is that we're not following simply intellectual commands, but we're following a person. And that person is one who loves you so much that he is willing to take your sickness, and we're all sick in sin, to take your sickness and redeem you from it such that you can have life that is life to the full in the present. So this is a gentle master who loves you and has done all that could be imagined, in fact, beyond what is imaginable, so that we could be reconciled to him and have life that is life to the full. So the quintessential point of understanding here is that Jesus is not one to be feared, but one to be befriended. Now, it is true that it is an awesome thing to come under judgment. And that is what people come under when they live lives in wanton abandonment of the principles that Christ has given us to live by. So there's a consequence to that in this life and the life to come. So I'm not suggesting that God is merely a God of love. A full-orbed understanding of God is a God who is both a God of love, but also a God of justice, a God of righteousness, a God of holiness, and we cannot take that lightly. But I don't think that we fear Jesus when we become participants in the kingdom. We treasure Jesus. We treasure the preciousness of the Holy Spirit. We have the opportunity through baptism to die, literally, be buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And now the effulgence of God begins to live within us, and we become partakers of the divine nature, and that relationship becomes one of deep and abiding love. We're brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. It's an awesome thing to contemplate. And as we partake of the means of grace, this never happens in isolation. It always happens within the context of the body of Christ, a healthy, well-balanced body of Christ. As we do that, we grow in grace. Grace overtakes us. It is, if you stand in the sun, like getting a suntan. I mean, there's something that happens. It's not static. It's not as though, well, nothing's happening here. Something actually happens that's transformative. And it isn't, again, transformative in ways of fear, because now the very one who created you becomes your friend, and you become a friend of God and have the awesome responsibility to be a co-laborer with Christ up until the time that he appears a second time, and then we will live with him forever in renewed bodies in a restored universe. So perfect love casts out fear. And what we're describing here, in answer to your question, is a state of perfect love. And that, again, is entered into when you are buried to your old life, raised to your new life, and then take up your cross and daily follow him. A lot could be said about this, a very, very deep and penetrating question, a question that all of us in one stage or another are considering as we live out our allotted days on this planet. Who knows? Tomorrow is not guaranteed. But while we're alive, we are co-consummators with our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we go into the presence of God. We call him Abba, Father. I mean, the incredible nature of the Christian life is so often undervalued. The very thing we were created for is fellowship with God, and that's what we can have. Again, perfect love casting out fear. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.